Hello, everyone. Welcome to WD Carousel Podcast. My name's Ian.
And I'm Crystal.
And we are going to once again go into our Discovering series, but we have a new park.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we have a new guest.
He's staring. Crystal's cat, Pugsley, he's hanging out.
Obsessed right now with attention.
Yeah, yeah,
so if we get distracted, that's
yeah,
why.
He sees the lights in the camera and he's just like, yes.
But you are correct. We are onto a new park.
Yes.
We are going to be popping into Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Because there is no rhyme or reason for how we're choosing the order of these
Not
things.
At all. But we're at just... least in the direction, we're going to be discussing the entrance of the park.
That's true. We are going in the right order of the worlds, but yeah, but even beyond that, it's going to get really shady. So we'll just go on from there.
So today we are going to be discussing the, we called them the boulevards.
Yes, because it's confusing. If any of you have studied a map of Hollywood Studios, you will see that the worlds, all the little lands, kind of just are all mishmashed together without a lot of good separation.
Even like 5 minutes before actually pressing record, we were trying to figure out exactly
which areas we're
going to be discussing.
Yeah.
But let's just real quick go over some generalities of Hollywood Studios. I think before we even dive in, it's good to go over some of the basics.
Yeah.
So Hollywood Studios actually was supposed to be an Epcot pavilion.
That makes sense.
Originally. It was going to be part of Future World, and then this is the era of Eisner.
Classic.
Where,
vintage,
you know,
Eisner.
He used to work for Paramount, which was approached by Universal to be part of them, and he said no, but then he knew what they were going to be doing with their parks, so he's like, okay, now that I'm CEO of Disney, we're going to compete with them, and instead of have just a little pavilion in Epcot for the movies, we're just going to create a whole dang park.
Yeah, because why not? This is not relevant at all, but apparently Paramount went on to buy like an actual entertainment like theme park company, and like for many years they actually, I cannot remember the name of which company they owned for a while, but they actually, like, Paramount properties were in theme parks for quite some time until they like were like, we can't do this anymore. But anyway, so thanks, Eisner.
And this was intended to be only a half day park because it was a functioning studio at the same time.
Right.
They had movies that they'd done there, and some of the lots and sets were supposed to have like live filming done as well during the day. Unfortunately, they canceled that right quick because of the sounds of guests coming through the park was just too loud.
Yeah, and then there was a second reasoning that I had heard about for this was the idea was that they would go on tour. So let's say you're going to shoot the new episode of some big famous show, and they're going to shoot it at Hollywood Studios. So they're making all the interior sets for like the Pirates 2, and they're trying to make it, and people are like walking through. Like, how is that going to work? Could you imagine just, like, having, like, a big new blockbuster and, like, people are just, like, looking in and seeing, like, what you're shooting?
The only show that they did, quote-unquote, succeed at filming there was the new Mickey Mouse Club of the 90s. So that had Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, a whole bunch of name drops there. But that's the only live-action show that succeeded in being filmed at that park.
Right, because, otherwise there'd be a lot of problems trying to keep that under wraps.
They did get some animation done, though.
Yes.
Which was pretty good. They did some partials of the big guys, so we're talking Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and then they did full animations of Lilo and Stitch, Brother Bear, Mulan.
Yeah.
So they did actually function.
Yes, but
as a studio for a while.
But their idea of competing with Universal as a live production facility was not a competitive offer to anybody.
No.
So
another thing that, I'm going to hold off on that until the next episode.
We'll just dole out our
More
relevant to
it's
that.
It's just the direction that we decided to, the kidney bean that we're going with.
Oh, you guys,
one.
It's ridiculous. I'm going to make that our thumbnail is just going to be the nightmare that is this map.
I don't have a paper one to hold up for
you
this time.
It'll be fine. That's so funny.
Yeah. So let's talk about the background and history a little bit more of what you have.
Yeah. So, So, like we
I
said,
did generals,
we are
and we're focusing on the boulevards.
Yeah, which we divide and conquer. It works. So we said the boulevards. So that actually means we're talking about Hollywood Boulevard and Sunset Boulevard. The only reason that we put them together is because they're like geographically close. Like that's like they connect. That's like the only reason we're saying
it's Hollywood Boulevard is entrance.
Yep.
And then Sunset Boulevard is
to the right.
And you can't go anywhere from that. The rest of them kind of interconnect somehow.
Yes.
So if we didn't cover that now, it just wouldn't have.
Yes. Yes. Covered. So in it was the only logical way we could do it. So here we are. But so Hollywood Boulevard is, they're both based on real streets in LA, and Hollywood Boulevard is basically the Main Street USA of the park. So you come through and you walk up, and they've got, it's very, it looks very LA, old LA styling, architecture.
They even have characters of Hollywood Boulevard, just like characters of Main Street. Yep. The parade route still runs down Hollywood Boulevard when they do them.
Yes.
The last time you and I went, and the last few times I've gone, it's mostly been the Order March.
Yes, yeah, been Star Wars-y stuff.
But that is still the intended parade route, just like in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. So that's kind of the, like you said, it's like there's like the, they have like the 1940s starlets and leading men kind of thing with
improv
their
actors that they have.
They're pretty good
to be able to interact with guests. Yeah,
they're pretty cool to see. So that's a thing. And then when you take a right, then there's Sunset Boulevard, which is also named after Sunset Boulevard, and it is actually the first expansion of Hollywood Studios in general. Which is kind of why it makes sense that it's just kind of this weird offshoot into one direction. Mm-hmm. But that was in 1994. Otherwise, they're both kind of supposed to be set in sort of like the golden age of Hollywood a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of just overall. There's not a lot more theming to it than that, to be honest.
Well, there's,
you probably there's have some.
Lots of little details, as there are in every single park, because this is Disney. But I'm only going to be covering like a slight overview of them. We're not going to go too hardcore.
Yeah.
Because
we'll probably talk about them separately at some point anyway.
Yeah.
These are supposed to be.
But let's just start our walkthrough then, because that makes sense.
Yeah, and then you can just interject right into the. Yeah.
Enter into the park. And the first thing you're going to see is the Crossroads of the World statue. It's actually an exact duplicate to the one that you find in Beverly Hills, which is actually known as the first shopping mall of America.
There you go. Continue.
On there is a difference, which happens to be a statue of Mickey at the top.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Serves two purposes, though.
Little difference there.
Not only because he is the token character of the Walt Disney Company.
Yeah.
But his right ear is actually made of copper, and he acts as a lightning rod.
So that way you don't get electrocuted. I love that.
Yeah.
The other thing to point out, as we're walking into the park, the main entrance is actually based off of the Pan Pacific Auditorium, like that kind of like retro. That I can't. Why am I? There's a specific
mid-century name.
Mid-century modern. Yeah. They have like some other like Hollywood specific kind of subset of that. But yeah. Anyway, that's all I got for the intro.
Yeah, and when you enter in on the right-hand side, you're going to notice all of the gas station, the little gas pumps and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So those actually have, you know, significance as well, the numbers that are on them.
Mm-hmm. just not give him attention.
Don't mind him.
The cat's here. It's just you see his tail.
Their numbers are actually coordinate with the opening dates of the different parks. So
fun.
Just like in Casey Jr.'s area Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
There's the gas pumps that... Okay, stop.
Pugsley's here, by the
Can
way.
You,
He's hanging out.
I love you. Off, please. No, not sit down more. Okay.
Cat stuff. Cat things.
After that, you head into basically the hugest shopping district in Hollywood Studios.
Mm-hmm.
It is store after store after store after store.
Yep.
Their street fronts, they're are themed to existing shops. So like the dark room actually exists in LA.
Yep.
As the original dark room. They have a, I'm not sure if this is down Hollywood or if this is down Sunset, but I just thought it was hilarious. They have a Mickey's of Hollywood.
I will talk about some of these.
Oh, you will?
Yes.
Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, it's okay. So if you were saying, as you walk right in, Oscar Super Service is on the right, and that is one of those gas stations you were talking about, is actually one of those gas stations is actually like a little kind of mini souvenir shop. You're gonna see a lot of souvenir shops. Like,
oh my god,
seems
this
like
is
it's excessively souvenir shop heavy in this
area. Well, and the Crossroads is a souvenir yes. shop, and then
yes, oh, it gets to be crazy after a while. So yeah,
there is a, there used to be pre-COVID meet and greet. To the left where the guest services building is, I sure. believe, was it Pluto or it was Chipperdale? I can't remember.
I think last time I saw it, I think it was Chipperdale.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong.
But there's a character stop there pre-COVID. Who knows what's going to happen yeah. after. But
right.
They're intermingled too.
Yes. Yes. So you see Oscar's on the right. And then as you keep walking, making a little walk, you will see Mickey's of Hollywood, as you were saying, is on the left right there.
So my little fact about Mickey's of Hollywood is it's actually a more PG version of Frederick's of Hollywood.
Is it really based on Frederick's of
yes.
Hollywood? Oh, that's so
and
funny.
And the exterior is meant to look like the original Frederick's of Hollywood
that
shop.
That is outstanding.
So instead of having lingerie in a Disney park, which they used to have at Disneyland,
yes.
They now have it as a clothing store.
Outstanding. Mickey's of Hollywood. That's great. And then on the right, you will see Celebrity 5 and 10.
Yeah, the 5 and Dime store.
Yes. And
which was household goods, if I remember correctly.
It is. I have more. It's in the list farther down. So if
I'm
we
just
get
just getting
there,
ahead of myself.
I know. Well, I probably like we've been doing this long enough. I probably should start to combine that. But I kind of like the separate lists. But that's just the way my weird brain works.
You're allowed to be weird.
Thanks.
We embrace it. We love you for it.
Thank you. So, and then you keep walking past all that, and you will see the trolley car cafe on the right.
The Starbucks location.
Yes. And then that is the point now where we see all of the things in the main area, but we're not going to look at those because...
Just, do not look
it.
At the man behind the curtain. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Pay attention between the theater behind the sorcerer
the,
hat.
The main... You know,
yeah,
image and icon
of the thing because it's
we're going to be discussing that next
we'll
time.
Tell that next, yeah, it's a whole thing. And then you'll take a right, and now we are going to be walking down Sunset Boulevard, kind of. So, immediately on the right, you will see Legends of Hollywood, and then I got ahead of myself.
You did get ahead
I
of
did.
Yourself.
So Hollywood Brown Derby is
yes.
ahead to the right when before
to
we
left.
Turn to the. I turned, so
yes.
it's on the left. I said it. I had it written before I turned, but I turned already. This is going great.
We're doing such a
We're
good job.
A good
Gold
job.
Star.
I'm amazed you guys are still here.
Oh.
So anyway, so it'll be on the left after we've turned, and then we keep walking down the thing.
Correct.
Yes. And then
there used to be Sweet Spells there, which was the only homage store to villain stuff, and it was the candy shop, and
oh,
then they
yeah.
got rid of that.
Did they?
Yep. Now it's another it's another Pixar shop because they need yet another Pixar location in here. Moving on.
Yeah, don't they already have like anyway, we'll get there.
Do they don't they have a whole land
on that? Anyway, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Where's my villains? I miss villains.
I know. Well, you know what I really miss is the freaking villains room in the Disney store in Disney Springs.
Yes. Well, I miss a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's
because
fair.
We haven't been
true.
Since COVID.
True. Well,
so
that's
we're missing
also
everything.
True. That's true. That's true.
But this imaginary wander down.
This is us. We're pretending like we're actually there right now. That's
I mean,
the
you were just smelling Pirate's Life candle to
I was.
Smell the bromine.
I was not. Kidding, I was. I
you
super
were.
Was.
You were
I
smelling
was.
Bromine just to put yourself in that location.
Yeah. You know, that's how we roll.
So, shopping.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you
Summed
know.
Up pretty good.
Yeah. I think Once Upon a Time is the Pandora stop.
Yes.
Shop
yep.
There.
I believe you are correct. Then Theater of the Stars will be off ahead to the right.
Yes, which is
the
Beauty
and the Beast
Beauty
show.
Beauty and the Beast show.
And then
and
straight ahead then will be Twilight Zone. Right?
No. There's Beauty and the Beast's theater, then there's the Fantasmic entrance, and then
so
there's...
the most recent map I have does not include Fantasmic. They have drained the thing.
Well, I hope they drain it, because they haven't used it in months.
I know, but I was looking at it, and they have, it, according to most information...
Have they
it
cut
is
it off of the... Pull
it's
up the app! I want to see...
Okay, on the app, it's there, but okay. on one of the maps, it's not. Or
okay.
on the main map that I saw, like, in the list of things where you would see it in that area. Anyway, I have a note on this later, but...
Yeah, and it won't let us go down far enough.
And if you look over at the thing, it's not in the list. It's, like, physically not.
Weird.
It's like they, and so this is, like, the latest, like, map that they put out, and it's
I love
not
how
there.
All of our listeners aren't even being able to see what we're talking about.
But, yeah, this was something that I actually was going to talk to you about this before we started, but then I forgot. But, yeah. So I actually listed Fantasmic as, like, a not active attraction in this list because it is... According to everything right now, they said that it closed when the park closed in March. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then when the parks reopened, it remained closed and they've drained the pool and they don't know what they're, and it's,
but
like,
they've also
it's all
stopped
unlisted.
All fireworks shows.
Agreed.
And
yeah,
after hours events.
A lot of stuff that they're not doing. But they made it look like that it was closed. Like, all of the data on, like, Wikipedia and a couple of the places were listing it like it was not an open attraction.
Well, I have facts for it that I'm going to talk about later anyways.
That's fine. We can do that. But anyway, that was the reason I did not include it, was because it was, like, the information was, like, very much like, this is not an active attraction. So,
ew.
I know. So anyway, you're right, though. If you kept walking, looking to the right of Tower of Terror, like, that'd be the path down to the thing.
No, I'm gonna challenge you on that, because I was watching Tim Tracker yesterday and the billboard right next to Tower of Terror is still up talking about Fantasmic.
Cool. I mean, cool. Whatever, it's fine. Like, I'm just using the information that I found.
I know.
So
it's nice to see that it's still there.
I know. I understand the...
It doesn't exist to us. We're still in Minnesota.
It doesn't matter anyway, but yeah. So anyway, if you're going to... We're in a world that Fantasmic is running right now. The path is just the right of Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. That's
correct.
More of the walkthrough. That's what's happening.
And then there's Tower of Terror.
Terror itself.
Swinging around.
And then there's also a Joffrey's Coffee over there, like between the Fantasmic thing.
There's not a lot of Joffrey's there.
No, there isn't. But that's the one Joffrey specific spot right there. Mm-hmm. And then
at the exit.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Little cart or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you take a left if you're standing looking at the Tower of Terror. Take a left, and then you will walk under a kind of banner thing, like a little, like, archway, and then you will see Rock and Roller Coaster featuring Aerosmith. Rock and Roller Coaster was spelled wrong here, but that's fine.
That was all you.
Me. No, I wasn't blaming you. Just noticing that it was my notes, and I spelled it wrong. Because I do it right later. Anyway, it's fine. I'm having a moment.
Quality.
Yeah.
Quality
so
content,
that's,
guys.
That's where Rock and Roller Coaster is. And then...
And the Lightning McQueen.
And the Lightning McQueen thing is...
Race
past
Academy.
It. Yeah, and I'm going to get to that because I had no idea what it was and I had to look it up.
Really?
Yeah, I knew it was over there because when I was in November, we were over there to go on Rock and Roller Coaster. I'm like, what on earth is this? Because remember in, like, 2006 we did the Stunt Spectacular... And I was like, this is kind of stupid, but whatever. And then it disappeared, and I didn't know what it was. Anyway.
We also forgot to talk about Sunset Ranch Market, which
yes.
is on the left-hand side right before you head towards
yes.
Rock and Roller Coaster.
Correct.
And it is... Okay, I almost said the worst quick service in the park, but let's be real... All of the quick service in the park
is
kind of
terrible. They all tie for
except
being
for
the
new lands.
Where is that?
So Woody's Lunchbox and
yes, and the cantinas and yeah.
Those are fine.
Lands. I see what you're saying.
But
I was imagining like the Land Pavilion in Epcot or something when you said new lands. I don't know why.
No, but you know, trying to until those new lands came out, this was the worst food park.
It truly
sucked.
It's terrible. It's very like. It's like Universal. Sorry.
Oh my God! It's horrible.
Sorry, I just said that.
But
yeah, it's there's not much to grab. There's not, but yeah, it was always kind of crappy, and it's still kind of crappy out in the main kind of older areas.
Mm-hmm.
But I went through all like the Disney sites to like grab my info on dining, and so I was trying to see like all the stuff they were talking about. I'm like, you guys, this is super lame. Like all the stuff they're trying to describe as being really cool. I'm like, you're not fooling anybody here.
Nope.
But so that's kind of now we're standing at the farthest end from the entrance. That's that area.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah.
So let's just talk about some of the
attractions. Yeah.
Shall we? But we're going to avoid the first one on the list.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Again.
Again, we'll get to it.
Next episode.
Yeah.
In order on the list, we'll cover Rock and Roller Coaster, which is the one that we had just talked about.
Yeah.
I haven't been to.
Yeah. Well, yes. It is probably one of my top three favorite roller coasters on Earth.
It was the first big roller coaster that Disney had. Yes. Like an adult roller coaster.
Yeah. I mean, like, unless you counted like a Space Mountain or a Big Thunder or something.
But those are family friendly.
Yeah. And that's true. I would still say, like, of all the coasters I've been on in the world, like, Rock and Roller Coaster is still much more tame than, like for example, like, the Hulk and, like, Universal. Like, that's, like, it's, like, you get to those levels of coasters where it's, like, this is too much! Like, I can't, there's no blood in my head. Like, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas this is, it's very exhilarating, but there's never a point where you're, like, this is too much! This is ridiculous! So, it's cool because it's a launching coaster, and it was the first ride in Disney, roller coaster in Disney that had inversions. Mm-hmm. So it's got three inversions throughout, and it is, they launch you from 0 to 60 in like, I want to say it's like just short of 3 seconds, I think.
Something like that.
I actually didn't like grab that stat, but you take off and you go directly into like a barrel roll. Mm-hmm. Like you just fly right into it. It is absolutely one of the most spectacularly fun in the dark roller coasters I think you can do. And you are strapped to a subwoofer, by the way. Like everyone's seat.
There are actually five speakers
it's crazy.
Per seat.
You're just like, you have these speakers
there's four
everywhere.
Around your head and one on your butt.
It is quite an experience to do. It's something else, but
this is also a roller coaster where they actually kind of made it inside out. And let me clarify that. So they created and built the coaster and then made the building around it.
Yep.
Instead of making the building and then putting the coaster inside.
It would be a pain in the butt to try to do it the other way around, I suppose.
Probably.
So that makes sense. And also one weird little fun fact too is
like they're doing with Guardians of the Galaxy though.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof, that sounds like a pain. But they send, they actually, that initial, like, linear induction launch, which same technology for the People Mover, by the way, but just a lot faster.
What?
Yeah.
Imagine the People Mover going that fast.
We would all be dead. Yeah. I think they tried that in Disneyland.
That corner, that first corner.
Yeah, we'd all be dead just from the G-forces. That one launch is actually enough to power you through the entire rest of the coaster. There is no additional power required. That one bit of momentum is enough to push you through the rest of the coaster.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So.
When you are in the queue heading onto the ride, you're going to hear the PA and there are names that are going to be listed. Those are actually Imagineers names that worked on the ride.
Oh, fun.
The electrical power boxes have initials and birth dates of the Imagineers as well.
Cool.
And if you are in the pre-show of the sound studio where you're watching them, you know, get ready.
They do like a Pepper's Ghost thing.
Yeah. Well, there's also a hidden Mickey of the cords on the ground.
You know what? I think I actually saw that. Yeah, they have like a mic cable like coiled up into a hidden Mickey, which I'm going to start doing to all my cables now, I think. Just
take up more space.
Make up more space just so I can have hidden Mickey cables. My roommates will kill me. Anyway, it's fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, Tower of Terror is almost the best ride in Disney.
I think it is maybe the best themed.
Yes.
It's just really good.
I will contend that Haunted Mansion still wins, but Tower of Terror actually has a linear story.
Tower of Terror tells a very specific, like you said, a very specific linear timeline that is really, really seamless and their ability to tie together thrill and storytelling is, I think, better than anything else pretty much out there. There more very, very recently, there's been some that have.
Yes.
But that's only been, like, in the last 6 years. And this came out, like, 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah. This came out...
Was it
94.
Oh, shit.
It was in 94.
I didn't swear. I swore. But, yeah, it...
That would put it at 26 years old.
That is crazy land. So...
And the building is pink.
The
building is pink for a reason, though.
Yes. It has to blend in with Morocco.
Yes, because you can actually see the Tower of Terror from Epcot.
Which is why it has that kind of Moorish influence, especially toward the top.
Yes. And
so the third time we've said that, I think, on this show.
I still love that Disney at that time, now they're not so much, but take into account sight lines to make sure that you are still immersed in the story and you're not like having anything that's jarring you out of
you never,
the world you're supposed to be in.
You never stand there and go, wait a second. I remember last time I was at Disney, I think it was with my parents this last time, we were standing on the Edge of the World showcase.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, stop, stop, stop. And they're like, what do you want? And I'm like, look, look, look. And like, I'm like, that's the Tower of Terror. And they're like, why did we come here with you?
And this is why you and I do well together at the parks. Because we're like, oh my God, I need to look at the small detail.
You know, once you start going enough, you start looking at different things. We've had that conversation before.
Yeah. This is also the tallest building in the
Disney property.
Yep. Walt Disney World property, because it's 199 feet.
I was about to say, I'm like, they're all under 200 feet, though.
But this one's like pushing
really
it. This
close.
One's 199.
That's so
and they've
crazy.
Actually been struck by lightning before, which is hilarious if you know the
story of
the Tower of Terror.
They're just playing with fate now.
And then some of the other things that I love about the Tower of Terror, just little facts.
Yeah.
There's so many details in this one. We are going
to
end up doing a standalone episode, but it's top speed when it pulls you down, because it pulls you down, is 39 miles an hour.
I believe that.
And if there's no wait, the standby wait time is 13 minutes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I see. That's their default. Okay.
Yes.
That's cute.
Yes. So if that there is a walk-on of 13 minutes, it's a walk-on.
It's a walk-on.
It's
they're just being really cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, we're spoopy.
We're so spoopy and fun.
Spoopy.
That's so good.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy.
Yeah. So I had to look this up. I don't know what it was. I pulled up a video. I watched maybe 30 seconds of it because I think I got the picture.
I've seen the whole thing.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Okay. So one thing I'll say about it that looks interesting is the animatronic looks pretty well done.
Yes.
For what it was.
That is the only thing.
Yeah. And I just... Okay, so for me, I feel like I can't give a good example, like a good like take on this, because I actually kind of hate Cars. It's the one Pixar franchise I dislike.
Mm-hmm.
It just never did it for me. But and I actually like Cars, like the vehicle, like vehicles. So I don't know what my problem is.
You like vroom vrooms.
I like vroom vrooms, but
because he has an electric car, so
that's like just the thing I like to. Anyway, I'm just weird. But the I don't know, like it just. It feels like they're taking up space.
This show is a show, first off, and when they were talking about it, they're like Racing Academy, and we had no idea what the heck we were getting into. No, you sit on a bench and you watch
a show.
An animatronic just do
talk
its thing.
Talk
it's talked. It's related to Cars 3 when they are bringing Lightning McQueen into a full on racing facility. To basically think of it like a high-end gym.
Got it. So simulators and
stuff. Yeah, and so they lock his wheels in, and he's like, yeah, give me this. I can do it. I can do it. And the first time, he can't figure out, because he's locked in, how to get it to go and work with the simulations, and he ends up being upside down and everything. And so this show is supposed to be him practicing on the simulator how to... basically use a treadmill. and that's the whole show.
That,
you're watching
you
a
get.
Car on a treadmill.
Yeah, so it's just like, yeah, and there's a big screen, like, and that was like part of Disney's pitch, and like, and you're wrapped around a wraparound 200-foot wide screen. I'm like, is that a selling point? Like, what is...
Like, you have 360s. What's a partial screen?
I'm like, I'd rather watch O Canada. Wait, what do you want from me?
Ding, now that's in my head. Okay.
Yeah, so that is those. And then there's Theater of the Stars, which is Beauty and the Beast Live, which I saw about 6,000 years ago, as much as I can remember.
And this was actually, a Theater of the Stars used to be, there were two of them. So the first one is actually where the entrance to Sunset Boulevard
used to be.
The theater used to be. They knocked that down to create Sunset Boulevard and then created a new Theater of the Stars. This is also because they're not currently showing Beauty and the Beast live. Though, fun fact, they premiered that show the same day that the movie came out in theaters.
Did they really?
They did.
91.
And the exact same day, and it's been going ever since pre-COVID.
Right.
But now that's where they moved the Grand Floridian players, the concert players, to, and they called them a different show, and then they just canned them all. So now the theater's being empty, and I don't know what's going to be there.
That's fun.
Yeah. And then let's talk about Fantasmic a little bit.
Fantasmic. That's the Beverly, what is that, Hollywood Hills Theater, which is not here.
Yes. And my favorite thing about that one is, first off, Mickey has 5 different costume changes.
Of course.
What a diva. And there is over 1 million gallons of water in that lagoon.
Tank. Yeah, I bet.
But it's only 1.5 feet deep.
Okay. Interesting. It is huge. I know that.
It is huge. Massive. But it's only 1.5 feet deep.
Wow.
Like, it wouldn't even get to your knees.
No.
And for them to be able to have those, the platform, not platforms. Oh, what the heck are they? Pontoons.
Yep.
With the characters coming out and all of that. Yep. And I'm like, you could do that on 1.5 feet of water?
Yeah, like you could just have them traipse through it.
I mean, at that point in time, they might as well just be on a chain and pull them through like a car.
I know.
I mean, they do that with enough of the water rides. I know. It wouldn't be anything different.
It is surprising.
Mm-hmm. And it's, I think, the longest running nighttime show. Don't quote me on that one. That was still going.
I believe that. At the time of COVID.
At the time pre-COVID.
Okay.
But it is.
I know it's been updated.
It needs to be updated more. It's not as thrilling. I saw it last time I was down there. And when you're talking about like castle projections or even the Christmas stuff that they have at Hollywood Studios with the projections on Tower of Terror.
Yeah.
This really, it doesn't.
They had hold their. Up. They had their like. They're like, we can project onto big like flat sheets of water. It's like, yeah. Like. Can't anybody with it? They have a big flat sheet of water. Like, it was cool. Like, it looks, it's a cool show, but it just kind of like, it's not like as technologically marvelous as they initially
had. I mean, the props that they have in there are pretty impressive.
Cool. Yeah,
because when you're talking about like the Cobra for Jafar's section, he's 16 feet tall and 100 feet long.
It is pretty impressive.
It doesn't seem like he's that big though, because of the distance that you are in the theater versus them on the little island where they're having this performance. And I saw somewhere that Maleficent's dragon, like the weight is over, I want to say it's 32,000.
Oh my god.
I know. I don't know if that's pounds or if that's puppies, but it just says 32,000. I was like, oh, okay, it's huge. I mean, we knew it anyways. But
yeah.
I think that it needs to be updated because the content in there, though, I still am listening to the soundtrack during COVID times because it makes me happy.
We've had this conversation. She can do it. I can't. It like makes me sad.
But there's a Pocahontas section that it's the only place in the parks that they really give acknowledgement to Pocahontas.
That's true.
Same with Hunchback of Notre Dame up until Happily Ever After came out, which they now have out there playing in a little section of Happily Ever After. But that's it.
That's it. Now, I have this weird memory. At some point, did they not do a Hunchback of Notre Dame show somewhere? In the park.
I know that they actually had, like, that was the thing about Hollywood Studios.
They had
the
shows.
Parades they were actually using at that time to promote new content
stuff
that was coming out.
Yeah.
And it started out with Aladdin. So when Aladdin first came out, it was a huge parade.
Yeah.
And then every subsequent movie since then, until they pretty much stopped doing parades, had to do with advertising the newest, the next, the greatest.
I need to look this up. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Keep,
hold, please.
Hold, please. Because I have this like weird memory of when I was really young, that we saw. Sorry, I'm having to try to type and talk. This is bad, you guys. Okay, that they actually had for a while in the spot, because they would, you know, they, the area where Beauty and the Beast is now was actually used in other, like, they used other stuff there too, and they jump back to it every time
because
it's the most popular.
Mm-hmm.
But there it is, Hunchback of Notre Dame the musical adventure. Nope, that's the film. Excuse me. Based on the 1996
musical stage show. Yep.
I did. It was in the Backlot Theater.
So not this area.
That was
in a different
one. Spot.
But
okay.
No, they did have that content.
They did.
Just
okay.
Like in here, they have other.
Yeah, stuff that would kind
movies
of
movies as well.
Up. Yes.
That we will touch base on that, you know, you don't find anywhere else in
yeah,
Disney property.
Yeah.
So this is kind of the place where movies go to die.
Oh, it's
except for Toy Story and Star Wars, but
they will never die.
They will live in infamy. Let's move to food.
Yeah, let's jump into some food and shopping, shall we? Okay. So dining, the biggest name in the entire thing is the Hollywood Brown Derby, which is based on the real restaurant.
Which no longer exists.
And it's a signature dining experience for Disney, mm-hmm. which means that it's going to be a little bit of extra money.
Mm-hmm.
And it also features stuff from the actual, like, original restaurant on the menu. So you'd get, you know, like, the Cobb salad, which apparently originated in the original.
It originated, yep, there was a dude named something Cobb.
Something
that
Cobb.
That created the
just
Cobb salad.
Let's just call him Joe. Joe Cobb.
Joe Cobb, okay.
And then they have Faroe Island salmon, grilled beef fillets.
They have,
stuff,
like, a
cakes.
Grapefruit cake.
Yeah, grapefruit cake.
But this is a place where you can actually dine with an Imagineer. So you can make reservations for a special event to be able to sit at a table with somebody who works for the Disney company and pick their brain.
That's pretty cool.
This is also a location where I love this little fact. There are a whole bunch of characters on the wall, just like there was in the original Brown Derby, but they're different colors for the frames. So if it has a black frame, it is a copy of one of the characters that was in the original Brown Derby.
Okay.
If it has a gold frame, it is an original character from the Brown Derby.
Oh.
And they brought it over to Disney's property to be able to keep that. So that one is kind of fun, especially when you're talking about Imagineers, animators being there. It's having those sketches, and it's
one on my list that I want to, like,
we were going to
and then we didn't.
We had the reservation.
We did. It would have been really cool, because it's one that I've always wanted to see. And then also if they do it again, going back into trying the Imagineer thing would be kind of fun too.
Oh yeah.
I'd love to do that.
Right across the street from that is the Trolley Car Cafe.
Yes, it is.
Used to be a different coffee treat shop. And then Starbucks took it over.
Yep.
You can still get your carrot cake cookie there.
Yes.
Which is importante.
See.
But if you want Starbucks, it's
there.
It's the Starbucks.
Basically, it's moral of the story. It looks like a trolley car, serves Starbucks and Disney baked goods.
Yeah, I think they still have their Snickers cupcake there too. Or
why not? You know,
whatever.
Because why not?
No, not Snickers. It's Butterfingers. So it would kill you.
It would kill me. So I don't really eat Disney baked goods anyway. So for the most part.
And then the horrible Sunset Ranch Market.
I was looking this up and I'm like, this is confusing.
Because there's like two,
this area.
This clump here, there's an ice cream thing here, but they're...
So, in the map that I had, it had two items it listed on Sunset Ranch.
That's it?
Yes. So, I was looking, there's a couple of things here, right? And I started going through it, and I looked deeper and deeper into, like, the Disney stuff.
Unless they cut the menu.
That's what I'm wondering. So, they might have cut some stuff back. But presently, it's just Anaheim Produce and Rosie's All-American Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
That's apparently all that they have running right now. And so the Anaheim Produce is basically just like kind of a standard snack cart that focuses on fresh fruit.
Yeah, there's a fresh fruit cart ahead almost on the sidewalk.
Sidewalk, okay.
And that's what the Anaheim Produce is. And then they must only have one of the actual...
Right. And so Rosie's All-Star Cafe...
Chicken sandwiches.
All-American Cafe. Yeah, exactly. It's basically you walk up. It's just a walk-up window and you can get like... They have like blue cheeseburgers, nuggets, fries, coleslaw. You can get beer there too if you want.
Yes.
Which if you're dining there, you probably should just get beer, honestly.
Make it taste better. And then there's the ice cream area that's
salty.
Not open.
Yes.
And then if we go back behind Tower of Terror near the exit is the little Joffrey's stand.
Yes. Gotta get your Joffrey's.
Shopping. It's...
Kind of talked
shopping.
About it already. Yeah, Mickey's of Hollywood. We were talking about Frederick's Hollywood, but kind of a 1920s or 1940s theme, apparel, mm-hmm. blah.
Five and Dime is the home decor, kitchen stuff.
They've also added like kind of basic crap too. Like you can get like an SD card for your camera, you know, and like batteries and like a new magic band or whatever there too. But it's mostly just like kitchen and home decor stuff.
Yep. The Oscars Super Service, which is the entrance one with the gas stations. That's also where you can rent your strollers and all of that as well on top of the basic souvenir shop.
Yep. Once Upon a Time is like an Art Deco cinema. It's actually a really neat looking building. And that's basically just like apparel, jewelry, headwear, blah.
Like I said, the Pandora shop.
Yeah.
The purse shop. Yep. I think a Vera Bradley or
yep.
something like that.
Yeah.
And then
there's the Legends of Hollywood,
which is another shop to spend money at.
Yes. It also has jewelry.
Yeah.
But they want it to be more boutique-y. I haven't been in that one, so I don't really know exactly. But that was like Disney's words. It's like, it's boutique themed. I'm like, what does that even mean?
Yeah. Previous attractions we've talked about a little bit.
I wrote at the top that there's a lot of changes that type, like, it, there's been a lot of moving around here, so we can't go through
There is not a single ride or attraction in Hollywood Studios that existed on opening day.
That makes sense.
So everything
is technically different.
Is new.
Yeah. And in fact, one of the areas that we're looking at wasn't even available on opening day, so it's just... it's just weird. The whole thing is a little weird. It's a kind of a sad park because it just feels like that they kind of don't know exactly what to do with it.
Now they're starting to.
They are.
So
it
this
makes
is
a
getting
lot
better.
More sense now. But one of the ones that we already talked about that doesn't exist anymore was Lights, Motor, Action. And that was the Motor Stunt Show. That was where Lightning McQueen was. It's basically just like, it was, they just did like stunt stuff with like specialty stunt cars.
Mm-hmm.
It was fine. You know, it was
behind the scenes sort of feel.
Behind the scenes-y. Yeah, exactly.
And then you have Fantasmic on there, which we talked about already. Yeah. And then there's the old restaurant.
The old restaurant, which I knew nothing about this. That was the thing that I actually was surprised by. Like, I had no idea it existed. So the Soundstage Restaurant and Catwalk Bar. So when you're eating in it, it's, I kind of thought of it as sort of the Great Movie Ride equivalent of it's like the Great Movie Ride equivalent of restaurants, you know, like you're going through film sets instead you're dining in film sets, you know, and you get to sit, and then it was supposed to look like active, and there was like, it was supposed to look interesting and be like you were in a film set. And then the Catwalk Bar was like, you get like cocktails. It's like a whole separate menu where you would dine on a catwalk above in the soundstage, above all of that. And you actually it was a separate entrance. You had to like enter this door that was like between Hollywood Brown Derby and the Soundstage Restaurant door.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought that was interesting.
So that is the first little armpit that is.
That's a good way to describe it.
Hollywood
honestly.
Studios.
Oh god.
The boulevards.
Yes.
And at this point in time, this is just basically us reliving our trips because we can't go.
Yep.
So I hope you enjoyed our little walkthrough. I hope you didn't get too confused too much. Learned a couple things.
Sure did.
This has been WD Carousel of Podcast. My name's Crystal.
And I'm Ian.
And we hope you have a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Bye, everybody.